And when you get down to verse number 35, he has just got through doing some preaching and teaching, and the Pharisees are looking at him, and they say, he is doing what he does through the devil. I mean, you can see that there in the last verse that before we'll start reading, verse number 34. The Pharisees say he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And then Jesus begins to preach here and to teach. And look in verse number 35. And it said, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again this morning. Thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for the good testimonies, good songs, all the good time of worship we've enjoyed this morning. Will you please just speak to our hearts and draw us up close to you and make us more like you? And I pray now, God, you get honor, you get glory, you get praise out of everything that is said. I pray, God, there's somebody here this morning lost. Draw them to a place of salvation and just stir those that are saved. Give them a greater desire and a zeal to live for you and to be led and to know more about you. And again, we'll thank you for everything you do for us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning about seeing the need. Seeing the need. And man, isn't it amazing how that sometimes you can have that spiritual discernment and you can see things and people and situations and you understand in those times that there is a spiritual need. But can I tell you, there's other times and you and I are just as blind, just as ignorant, just as what's going on? You know, we don't have a clue about what the need really is. I mean, there is something that we need, and Brother Ivan just kind of touched on it there for a minute. If you'll get into the Word of God, I believe the Bible will help me and you to see people's needs. Because when you understand their condition, when you understand the situation that they're in, you'll see that they have some particular kind of need, right? You'll see that. So let's look at that with that kind of thought in mind this morning. And you see how that Jesus sees the need. Now, I want you to notice it in verse number 35, that starts out, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, Jesus is here, and he has his disciples with him. He has those men that he's chosen. And there are others that are there with him, that are following him. And no doubt they're seeing all of the miraculous. They're hearing all of the teaching. They're seeing all the things that are done. But I want you to know, when you look at it, I want to say this first of all. The disciples are like me and you many times. All the disciples saw was a crowd. All they saw was a crowd. They look out and they see a crowd. It'd be like maybe you coming up here to the pulpit today and looking out over the whole congregation and you might just see a crowd. I mean, you might be able to identify some folks and you might know that, well, surely somebody in this group has got some problems and got some burdens and got some issues in their life. But, you know, you just look at them and you say, well, this just looks like a crowd of people to me. Looks like any other crowd. But aren't you glad Jesus saw them a different way? Jesus saw. But the disciples saw them as a crowd. You remember when Jesus is going out to a desert place, we're told in about just about every one of the Gospels, and it says that Jesus, in the same idea, sees the whole multitude as they come to him, and it said, Jesus says to his disciples, he said, how are we going to feed these people? You remember that story about the little boy and his lunch and how that they fed the 5,000? As they sat down, the disciples just simply saw a crowd of people. They just saw a crowd. And you know, sometimes when you see a crowd, this is the way that it is. It was a dominating issue to them. I mean, it was a, man, look at that crowd. I mean, look at that bunch of people. Look at that. And listen, you see a crowd of people, and man, it is an overwhelming thing. It's a large thing. It's an obstacle sometimes. I mean, it becomes a dominating issue. And as I said, you think about that incident with a little boy and his lunch, and the disciples looked at the same crowd that Jesus did, and they said, "Oh no, this is going to be a problem." I mean, do you see how many people? And the Bible said there was 5,000 men, and that above that the women and the children. I mean, you had a large crowd there. And as I said, it became, first of all, to those disciples, hey, let me tell you, just like this, it became something that was a dominating issue. But not only that, I want to tell you, it was a difficult issue for them. It's difficult. I mean, they're like, "Lord, what are we going to do? And where are we going to put all these people? And what do we need to do? And how are we going to control this? And how are we going to take charge of that? And how are we going to make sure that things don't get out of hand? Maybe somebody's going to get mad. Maybe somebody's going to get hurt." I mean, you begin to look at that and you think the same thing. How are we going to make sure? I'll tell you something. We're concerned today, like a lot of other churches, we're concerned about the security of our churches and our buildings and all that. And that's an issue to us today. We see a crowd, a number of people, and we think, "Boy, we got to do something." And it becomes, as I say, first of all, it might become dominating, but then you understand that it is fraught with some difficulty. You look at it and you say, "Man, this is going to be a thing, or it could be a thing if something doesn't go right, or if anything does go wrong." And then on another idea, I think you can see as they looked at the crowd, it was sort of a discouraging issue. You remember when Jesus tells them they're going to feed the crowd? And they look at them and they say, "Wait a minute." He said, how are we going to feed a crowd like this? And here comes Philip to him. He said, "Well, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough. We got a little bit of money in our account, but that's not going to be enough to feed all these." And he's sitting there counting heads. And then all of a sudden, here comes Andrew. And Andrew said, "Well, I got this little boy right here, and he's got his lunch with him. But what is that among so many?" And they're beginning to get discouraged with the situation and how it looks. And I'm telling you, hey, we will find the same thing. I look out on the masses of people today, and I see people that are hurting, and I see people that are mad, and I see people that are just being irrational many times. And you think, "What in the world are we coming to? What are we going to do with this crowd of people?" Amen? I mean, you watch them on the TV just like I do. You see them all mad and upset over politics, and over economics, and over the world situation. I see, and you see them, and as I said, man, you begin to understand, this thing is just a teetotal mess. Amen? I mean, it just becomes a very difficult and a very discouraging issue. And you and I think, "What in the world are we going to do? What are we going to do?" But aren't you glad that when Jesus gets into the situation, things change? First of all, the disciples saw a crowd. But second of all, let me tell you, Jesus saw the crowd. But moreover, He saw their condition. I want you to notice what the Bible tells you. It says that Jesus, verse 36, when He saw the multitudes, Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Amen? Jesus looked at them, and He looked at the same thing everybody else was looking at, but He looked at them in a different way. Jesus saw this crowd, and first of all, I want you to notice that Jesus saw that the crowd was distressed. It says He saw them. And as He saw them, it said He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were distressed because of the situation that they were in. Don't you think people today are distressed because of the situation that they are in? I'm telling you, when you get into a situation, it creates some pressures and some stresses, and it'll just make you, the Bible says here, faint. And that word faint means just about to be bound down, tired, lay down, give up. I mean, they're just plumb give up. And sometimes you and I get so discouraged with the mess of this world that we just want to faint and go by the wayside. Isn't that right? I mean, isn't that what's going on in this crazy world today? And I understand. These are some things that have to happen that are going on in our world, in our societies. I mean, I'm talking about worldwide. And everybody's looking for an answer. Thank God I still got the answer, hadn't you? He's come to live in my heart. But Jesus is looking on them, and as he looks on them, he saw that condition that, as I say, they were distressed. They're wearied. They're tired. They're worn down. They are burdened. They're beat up. And you know what did it to them more than anything in that day? It was religion. The Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees have been, the Pharisees are following Jesus around somebody everywhere that he goes. They're following him to every station, every place, every city, every town. There's somebody that's reporting back to Pharisees, say, guess what he did today? Guess what happened when he had a group and a big crowd came out and he healed people and he helped this one and he took care of that. And, oh, they just, man, they were all tore up. They were all tore up. So what'd they say? Well, what he's doing it by the power of the devil. Isn't that right? Verse 34, the Pharisee said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. He's the devil himself, and he's casting them out. Now, that don't make any sense, does it? But that's the bill they had to sell, the product they put on the shelf and said, look, this is what we need to say, and we need to stand by that. But Jesus is looking at them, and he sees a bunch of people that are just worn out by religion. Amen? Can I tell you some of the most unhappy people today are people that have religion. I mean, religion demands of you. Religion says, do this, do it my way. You got to do it right. And if you don't do it, my finger and my thumb is against you, and you're just in trouble. It ain't going to work out for you. That's religion. But aren't you glad that Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and when I give you the truth, it will make you free. Amen? I'm glad I'm on that free side today. Amen? I'm just telling you, these folks were distressed. He looked at them, and he said, as he looked on them, it said he had compassion on them because they fainted. I mean, you can look out at people sometimes, and you can just see how worn down. Anybody, you ever been up with somebody like that? You look at them and say, how you doing? You know their life's a struggle, and things are going on in their life. And you can look in their eyes, and they'll say, oh, I'm doing fine because I've done it myself. Looked at people, and they're looking at you like you ain't telling the truth. I can tell you're worn out. I can tell you're tired. I'm telling that something has just got you pushed, pressed, and burdened so much, you can't. You can't fool me. Jesus looked on them, but he didn't just look on them and see those things. He had compassion on them. And it said he realized that they were distressed. He realized also they had no direction. You see what it said? They fainted, and they were scattered abroad. They're just everywhere. They're all over the road. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to go. They don't know what to do. That's the way religion will do you. Oh, it'll give you something, but then you get in a mess, and you don't know where to turn, what to do, how to please them, how to make them happy, and they're standing there with that stern look and says, you need to do better. You need to be doing different. You need to do like I do. You ought to be like me. Amen? That's what religion does to you. You remember Jesus telling the story about the Pharisee and the publican out on the street corner and how the Pharisee stood up and began to pray. And the Bible said, Jesus said that he prayed thus with himself. And that's about it. He's talking to himself about himself. He said, oh God, I'm glad that I tithe twice in the week. I'm glad that I do this and I do that. And I'm not like that guy right there. Amen. You know what you do sometimes, and I do too? We get to comparing ourselves to others. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody else. You just need to ask the Lord what he's looking for out of you. What are you looking for out of my life, Lord? And see, Jesus sees these. He says they had no direction. They had been pushed. They've been pulled. They've been told. You know, and if we're not careful, sometimes we do the same thing. I've seen people get in the altar and somebody yell at them and say, hang on. Somebody else say, let go. And somebody else would say, do this, do that. I mean, man, no wonder people can't get saved sometimes. They're trying to listen to 40, 11 different things. Amen? They just simply need to know that you can trust the Word of God and that Jesus will save you by an amazing, marvelous grace and mercy. Amen? That's what they need to know. And Jesus, looking at him, he said, these folks don't have any direction. When you don't have any direction, you don't know the way, you don't know how to get there, and you don't even know how to get in it. Amen? I mean, you have no idea about the way. And that's what they're doing. I mean, they're just, and they have no clarity. They have nobody to teach them. They have no wisdom, no understanding. They're just thrown out. And, you know, sometimes I think we think that about our churches, that, man, well, I'm saved. Now what do? And we just get in church and we're going to have church. We need something to give us some direction. That's why God gave us His Bible. Get in your Bible and find out the direction that God wants you to go in. Amen? Shake your head like this because I'm right. Amen? I mean, that's exactly what the Lord is looking for and calling us to as His disciples. And Jesus looked at him and said, you guys don't have any direction. There is no clearness in your teachings. There's no direction for your life. There is nobody. And you know what? The Pharisees didn't care about them. It's just another notch on their belt, another number on their board, another, you know, thing that they could claim and say, oh yeah, I've got so many followers, all that mess. Amen? That sound familiar to some of y'all about Facebook? Oh, I got 4,827 friends. Yeah, right. Get stuck in the middle of the night somewhere and call one of them friends. Let's see how fast they run there. Amen? Amen. I'm just telling you, sometimes the you're just left and you have no direction. You have no direction. Jesus looked at them and he said, they're distressed. They're about to faint. They have no direction. They're scattered abroad. And he said, and they're really defenseless. He said, they were like sheep that didn't have a shepherd. Sheep left to their own devices, you know what they'll do? They'll wander. They'll get lost and they're liable to get killed. And that's exactly how Jesus saw these people. They don't have any kind of defense about them. But aren't you glad Jesus cares for us? Aren't you glad David wrote the 23rd Psalm and he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Because why? He said, because He leads me by the still water. He feeds me. He gives me the right direction. He's there with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. He does all of it. Every step I take, He's right there with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad of that? I mean, you're not defenseless today. David said in the end of that, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. You've got some defense on your side. Amen. I'm not defenseless. I'm glad Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm going away. When I go, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send a comforter. He's going to be here to help you. He will give you direction. He will give you wisdom. He will give you what you need in this life. He'll be there for you. He'll take care of you. Thank God. And aren't you glad God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. Praise God for that. Amen. I'm just telling you, he looked at this crowd and he saw their condition. He saw their condition. He saw some folks that were hurting. Some folks that had no sense of direction. I mean, they were just in an absolute state of, I don't know how in the world to take care of anything. And I sure can't take care of myself. Amen? Do you know you're the same way too? You cannot take care of you. You need somebody. But not only did Jesus see them and he saw their condition. Don't you look at one more thing, if you will. And notice that Jesus looked on them and he saw them with compassion. You see that? It said when he saw them, we'll choose verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them. I mean, He was there. You remember that old song? Someone to care. The psalmist wrote in the Old Testament, the psalmist said, no man careth for my soul. You realize that? Religion didn't care about these people. They were just a group to lord over. They were a group to rule over. They were a group to tell what to do. Amen? You know, that's what religion is like. You do as I say, and not necessarily as I do. Because I'm the boss, and I'm telling you. You know what? You're like me. I don't like nobody telling me what to do, especially if they're not going to do it themselves. I don't need no bosses like that. I don't need nothing like that. My brother, can I tell you, Jesus is looking, and he's looking at these people with compassion. And he said, I want you to know that there is somebody that cares. I want you to know today there's a God in heaven that cares about you. There's a God that he cares about you. You'd say, preacher, not me. I'm nobody. I know. I was there too. And thank God he loved me. He came to me. He got me. David said it was like I was in a horrible pit. He said I was sinking down low. He said, but then he heard my cry and he reached down and he pulled me out of the miry clay and he set my feet on a solid rock and he established my going. He said he put a new song into my mouth. Amen. Woo, he said, even praise unto our God. He said, many shall see it and fear. Aren't you glad of that? Man, how did that happen? It's because that somebody cared. And Jesus is looking at this whole crowd of people. He don't just see problems and, oh boy, difficulties and what are we going to do and all that. But Jesus saw them and he had a heart of compassion. Because he saw that they were in the situation. He saw what was going on with them. I mean, he saw every bit of this stuff, the confusion and the issues in their life. And he said they were scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. But then Jesus began to say, you know what we need to do, guys? He looked at his disciples. And Jesus said to his disciples, verse number 37, he looked at them. He said, fellas, let me tell y'all something. We need to love them. We need to love them. I want you to notice what he says. He says, the harvest is truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know how we get, or what we can get? First of all, I want you to get this idea. Jesus is looking at them and loving them. He's looking at them and loving them. You remember over in John 4 when Jesus is talking with a lady by the well? And at the end of that interaction, the disciples come back. And they see Jesus talking to this woman, and they're scared. They ain't even going to ask him what he's doing talking to her because they knew she was a Samaritan woman. They knew something was going on, but they didn't, and they was afraid to ask him too much. But she left the water pot, run, started telling him, I said, come see a man. And while they're gone, while she's gone, getting the crowd together to come back, his disciples look at him, and they say, Master, we got you something to eat. He said, I've got something to eat you don't know anything about. They said, well, did somebody bring you something to eat? Amen. And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He said, you say that there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. He said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white unto harvest. You'll never do anything until God gets in mind your hearts and gets us to lift these little stinking heads up and look at what's out there. Look, I'm talking about get your head up and look at what God is showing me and you. There's people out there that need God. Amen. We get in church and we're ready to sing me and my four no more. Amen. I mean, that's about the way we are. God help us to wake up and see those outside these walls that are hurting, that are broken, that are messed up, that are angry for some reason. And it's because, hey, they need some help from God. Amen. They need the Lord. Listen, Jesus looked at them and he said, boys, the harvest truly is plenty. If you'll look up, you'll see there's a lot out there for you to love. A lot that need love. There's a lot of them out there, and they need the stuff that only the Lord can do for them. But you notice what else he says? He says here that there is some laboring in this. He said, the harvest truly is meant, but the laborers are few. He said, you and I must get involved, and we got to labor in love. He said, the laborers are few. There's not many people want to do anything for God. There's an old song, and I don't know how old it is now, but I remember a few years ago, there was a song that said that all God's children, they want to sit at His table, but nobody wants to work in the field. Amen? Nobody wants to work in the field. Can I tell you, Naomi and Ruth wouldn't eat a bite unless Ruth got up and went out and worked in the field. They could have sat there and said, oh, we love God, we're saved, and hallelujah. Yeah, well, get up and do something if you're going to eat. I mean, the laborers are very few. There's not very many folks that want to do anything for God. Amen. Just admit it. I mean, you know, there's this thing, I hope you've heard it all your life, I've probably heard about all of mine, the 80-20 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the work in anything you want to do. Amen. Isn't that great? You go to your job, and you know what that means? That means there's eight people that ain't hitting a lick and a snake, but there's two of us doing all the work carrying load. Oh, those others may do a little bit, and they may piddle around, and they may get something accomplished, but it's them other two that's doing the job. Amen? Well, that's the way, believe it or not, it works like that in the church, too. Amen? You ever come in church, and I mean, everything's clean? Well, I must have done that. How'd that happen? I mean, that's the way we are sometimes. But, you know, you get up and sometimes you hear the choir sing a new song or something. You say, boy, I done good with that, didn't I? I'm going to get that fixed. No, it's somebody else that's in the background working, okay? Somebody's got to do some of the laboring part in these issues or it'll never get done. The floors wouldn't be clean. The toilets wouldn't get scrubbed. The doors wouldn't get unlocked. The lights wouldn't be up. I mean, hey, somebody doing something. Amen? Don't look at me like a calf at a new gate. Shake your head and say, you're right. Somebody's doing something. And I'm just telling you, that's the way you do it. Jesus, and it's that way in all of life. But Jesus says, the laborers are few. But do you see what He said? He said, we ought to labor, and we ought to labor in love. You want to know what He says about the harvest? Hey, He says, look, you need to pray the Lord of the harvest and realize He's the Lord of love. He said, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest. We're to labor, but we're also to pray that God would send some more into the harvest. We need some more. And let me just tell you, if you ain't already made it a point of prayer, make it a point of prayer. Man, this little lady over here talk about it and pray about it all the time. We'd like to see some more workers come into this church. Some more folks that are just, hey, preacher, we're here and we want to do something. Praise God. What can we do? And how can we? And listen, I'm not down on it. I'm just thanking you for what you do. But I'm saying, let's pray and get some more in here and let's do some more. Amen. Let's sing some more. Let's work some more. Let's labor some more. Let's love some more. Let's give some more. Let's do more and more and more. And the Bible right here says you just pray the Lord of the harvest. Oh, listen, the law of the harvest. Let me just run this by you real quick. The law of the harvest is this. The harvest says there is the superiority of the sovereign, the Lord of the harvest. There is a Lord that's over the harvest. But not only that, He said there should be the supplication of the saints of God. Hey, He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. There should be some prayer going on during this time of harvest. And not only that, there ought to be the sending of the servants. He said, hey, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are here. Send us some more laborers, Lord. Send somebody in here to labor in this harvest. And then, you know what you wind up doing? You all wind up sharing in the success of the harvest. It says, that the Bible tells us that Paul is talking about how people said, well, I'm over here in Cephas' camp, and I'm over here in Paul's, and I know Apollos, and all that. You know how people get broke up on all that kind of stuff. You believe that's still going on today? It is. I mean, I hear people, do you go to so-and-so's camp meeting? Who cares? I mean, really? If I do or if I don't? Okay. But there's, oh, well, you're not like a, well, God help you if that's your idea of what you've got to be to have a Christian or be a Christian. Hey, you're in trouble. But do you know that man, Paul said, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I'm telling you, that's what we want to see today. is the increase that only comes from God. The increase that only comes from God right now. Amen? And I believe we can have an increase that only comes from God. I mean, you and I need to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest. He is there, willing and ready. But it's going to take me and you as workers to get through it. Amen? I mean, we're going to have to get on our faces. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to seek the face of God. My Bible still tells me in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which call my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. And I'll heal their land and I'll forgive their sin. I'm just telling you, there's a formula that works for revival. And you know what it is? It includes me and you getting our stuff out of the way, getting Him at the forefront of everything. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing something this morning. Hey, do you see the need? Seeing the need. Jesus looked out and He saw the need of these poor people. That, man, they were hungry, they were needy, they were in a position, and yet they were distraught, they were discouraged, they were broken down, they were on some dangerous territory. But thank God Jesus saw the need, and He reached out to them with compassion. Is your heart of love working today? Do you love people? Are you really loving them? I know sometimes I get aggravated with people, and people probably get aggravated with me. But you know what? God still says, let's just love them and go on and do what we can do. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, this morning.